Today we're going to be talking about Jesus' promise to be with you. Our text comes from something known as the Great Commission. This is given in the very end of the book of Matthew, in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and it goes like this. It says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Doesn't that just sound good when somebody says, "I'm with you, I got you, I got you back"? But Jesus says, "I'll be with you." It's just comforting, right? It feels nice. And Jesus had proven his power many times before to his disciples, but before this verse pops up. And we're going to talk today about a time he doesn't just display his power, but his presence in being with the disciples. And today we'll look at a story that comes out of the book of Mark, chapter 4. And for those of you who want to study a little deeper, the story gets paralleled in Luke 8 and Matthew 8. So we can look at that. And this story is going to occur in a boat on the sea. So where are we in the context of this story? Well, we're on a lake called the Sea of Galilee, and I want to show it to you just to bring you a little bit of context about this sea. This sea is 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, okay? So it's a pretty big lake. It's also the lowest freshwater body on Earth. Now, some of you might say, "Well, wait a minute. What about the Dead Sea?" Well, the Dead Sea is salt. This is freshwater, and it's the lowest. But it's surrounded by mountains, which what happens is sometimes the cool air will come down out of those mountains, hitting those warm waters, and create very explosive thunderstorms on this sea. And so it's very well known for its erratic and explosive nature. Sometimes these waves can get up to as high as 10, 12, some recorded at 20 feet. So these storms are pretty crazy. Now, this story, when we start, we're over in Capernaum, and we're going to be going across to Gergesene, where we're going to be headed. And in the context of all that, we get a little problem. But before we get to the problem, I think it's very important that you understand the context of what's going on, because it'll help deepen what exactly happens here with Jesus. We're over in Capernaum. Jesus is teaching, and all of a sudden, a lot of people start flooding around to try to hear him teach. So many people that they put him in a boat and push him out a little ways from the shore so that he can teach. And in this context, he teaches a parable known as the parable of the sower. And in this parable, what happens is he says a sower goes out and spreads seed. Some of it falls along a path, and the birds of the air come and grab it and leave. Some of it falls on shallow soil, and it sprouts up, but the root's not deep, and the sun comes up, and then all of a sudden it dies. Some of it lands in decent soil, but then the thorns come up, and it's these worries of the world, and it just chokes the seed out. But then others, he says, it falls on good soil and it produces a harvest, sometimes 30, 60, 100 fold. It's great. And everybody around is like, that's so good. That's good, preacher. You know, you keep going. That's good teaching right there. And then the disciples pull him off to the side and they're like, hey, that was really good what you said, but we don't understand it. What did that even mean? I don't know what you're talking about. He says, well, okay, here's what it is. And he tells them that, listen, the seed that fell on the path and it gets taken away, it's like when your enemy, Satan, he comes and he steals the word. But then that soil that, you know, the seed that fell on the shallow soil, that's like you receive the word, but then it doesn't have root. And so when persecution comes, it fades away real quick. Now, that other seed, when it hit that good soil, but then it got choked out, that's the worries of this life, choking out the word that God had put in your heart. Then, the one that falls on good soil is when it's heard, it's put into practice, and it yields 30, 60, 100 fold. So he tells this parable to them, and they're all like, got it. That's really good. And then immediately, he shares with them three other parables real quick. And the first one is about a parable about a lamp. And he says, look, you don't take a lamp and then hide it, do you? No, we don't put it under a bed or put it under a bushel. We stick it up on a lampstand to give light to the whole house. Then he talks about a parable of a growing seed and a parable of a mustard seed. So you could say it was like a college course. And he was the professor and he had been teaching, but now it was time for the lab, the time to put all this teaching into practice. And so in Mark 4:35, we read this where Jesus says, then that day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. Now remember, we're at the Sea of Galilee, we're on a seashore, and we're in Capernaum, and we need to go across, right? There's a few problems with this. First of all, I want you to understand it said that evening. He says, let's go to the other side. Now understand this, the sea itself, I just told you, was known for its explosive storms. It says that it was evening. In this context, it's going to mean late afternoon, headed towards sunset. So they're like, I don't know. Is this the best idea? But there's a bigger problem. We're over in Galilee. This is Jewish territory. It's all good. But where we're headed is in the region of Decapolis. It's pagan. It's Roman. It's bad. You can be unclean over there. This is not a good place to go. Mama said, I'm never supposed to go over there to that place. I'm not supposed to go over there. This could be a big problem. And furthermore, they believed that the Roman gods would many times wage war out there to try to explain these storms. They thought that Baal and Yam were out there just fighting, and it creates all these storms. They thought that these gods lived in this lake. So they were scared of this. Now, I can't imagine that there wasn't some side-eyeing going on between the disciples. Like, I don't know about this. I mean, that teaching was pretty good, and the sore and all that stuff, but oh my gosh, this looks pretty bad. This doesn't look good at all. And what we see is in the very next verse, he's going to teach something very amazing. But what you see is him saying, no, we're going to go to the other side. What's he doing? He had just told them, listen, you don't hide a lamp, do you? You let its light shine. I just told you that. But now we're going to go over there where you don't want to go, to the people you don't think we need to go to. And I'm going to take you over there. And we're going to go. So he's putting into practice the teaching immediately that he's given to them. In verse 36, he says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. How was Jesus? Well, quite honestly, he'd been teaching all day long to thousands of people. He was tired. He had been healing. He had been praying. He had been talking. He had been praying. Then he had been explaining to the disciples what he was saying. He was tired. And you notice something. They obeyed him. They jumped in the boat. So far, so good. The disciples are doing okay. They didn't argue with him. They just get in the boat. Despite the fact, Mama said, don't go over there. Despite the fact, I'm not supposed to go to this whole area. I'm going to go ahead and get in the boat with him. And then in verse 36, 37, it says, there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, listen, here's the first thing that stands out to me when I read that. They did what Jesus asked them to do. They got into the boat, and yet the storm showed up. Do you ever feel like, you know, I'm doing all the things. I'm not supposed to have storms. I served, I tithed, I gave, I did all the stuff. Why is there a storm? Why am I in trouble? Well, maybe you're not in trouble. You see, God sometimes will help take you into the storm, not to discipline you, but to disciple you. I don't know about you, but my life is most forged in the storms than tranquility. The faith that I have deepens in the context of a storm. And here are the disciples in the middle of a storm. And what happens? Verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I told you he was tired. He's very tired. It's not that he didn't care. He was just worn out. He was exhausted. The disciples woke him, and they said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care? You said, get in the boat. Got in the boat. You said, you know, do that. I did this. You did the little lamp thing, and I believed it. And now we're going over here, where Mama said, don't go. I did everything you said to do. Don't you care that we're about to drown? Maybe some of you today feel a little bit like that. Like, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care my kid's sick? Don't you care my marriage is falling apart? My friends deserted me. I ain't got no money. I feel alone. I want to give up. My loved one died. Lost my job. Don't you care? Don't you care? Of course he cares. You see, he was always with the disciples in the boat. He's never not in your boat. You're not alone in your struggle. They were just taught the parable. Remember? The sower. Do you remember that part about the word being received and then the thorns growing up? They were in the thick of it. These waves, this storm, it was the thorns. And all of a sudden, the worries of this life had gotten the disciples. Don't you care? What's going on? Storms are going to come in life. You may be surprised when they come, how they come, and where they come. But let me tell you, the storms are going to come, and you cannot prevent them. The good news is that Jesus is always in your boat. And he's always going to be with you in the struggle. So continuing on in this verse, verse 39, it says, he got up and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. In the matter of just a few moments, could you imagine this? You're in a boat. He's asleep on a cushion. You go down. Don't you care? He says, shh. And it just gets quiet. And in a matter of moments, the disciples saw Jesus' humanity being fully man and that he was exhausted and couldn't even stay awake in the context of the storm. That tired, but then they saw his divinity and the fact that he was sovereign over even the creation and the waves and the wind. And when he would speak a word, they couldn't help but obey. They saw these two things. And then in verse 40, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? You still have no faith. Now, as I've said before, every time I read that, in the past, I've always thought this seemed kind of unfair. That seems a bit harsh. And the reason is because I completely identify with these disciples. In fact, I'm just going to tell you, I would have probably been the one going down to the stern. The first wave that came over the boat, I'd have been like, I know y'all good. I'm not. I'm going down to the stern right now. I'm yanking his dang cushion out from under his head. I'm like, don't you care about this? We're supposed to be. I told everybody not to go away. Mama told me not to go. Okay? All the crazy Roman nonsense going on over there. You're going to make us unclean. Now, Baal and Yam and, are after it. Right? We're about to be eaten up. Don't you care? I'd have been the first one down there. I don't understand. And so for me, I'm like, yeah, but what do you mean disbelieve? I mean, the waves are literally coming over the boat. I would have been freaked out in the middle of this lake. And so it seemed harsh, but then I realized something. Jesus never said to them when they were in Capernaum, hey guys, let's go out in the middle and die together. That'd be great. He never said that. Let's just go out there and get in a real big storm and let me scare the heck out of you real quick, and it'll be great. He said to them, let's go to the other side. He said, let's go to the other side. No wonder he said, hey, you don't believe? We're going over there. I said we were going. And I can't help but think about times, and maybe you relate, where God said something to you a long time ago. He spoke something into your life, and then the worries of the world came up, and they started choking it out. That thing you believed for back when you said your covenant vows. You thought it was going to be great, and then it wasn't. You thought you were going to have this really long road in front of you, and then the doctor came in and said something, and the worries began to choke. You thought everybody was going to be great, and all your kids were going to follow Jesus. Everybody going to be good. And then it didn't happen. There's something God had that we're going to the other side. Why do you doubt? Trust me, I'm with you. And we're going to get to the other side. What's that thing that God spoke to you? We see in verse 41 that they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this guy? Who is this? I mean, he's been teaching pretty good. He's done a miracle or two. They're kind of like, maybe, I don't know. That looked pretty good. But then I like to look at this, and it's like a moment where for the disciples, it's like their full-on belief as to who he was went from here to here. All of a sudden, they ask themselves, who is this guy that the wind and the waves have to obey him? That's crazy. They're like, I don't know who this is. This is crazy. He's different. It was like the storm after the storm. Like when Jesus comes in and starts to rearrange your life, it feels like a storm after your storm. The storm kind of got you there where you were like, don't you care? And then he comes in, you rearrange, and everything wasn't great. And then you're like, who is this when he speaks? And the disciples are like, oh my gosh, this guy, he's with us. If you're a Christ follower, do you know who's in that boat? Who's in the boat with you? Jesus tells us that he's going to be with us. But he tells us something else. It's maybe even more important. Did you see it? You probably didn't. And the reason is, look, this is the verse that we started with. Take a look at this. It's the Great Commission, right? This is what's on calendars, on coffee mugs, and, you know, everything else. There's just one important part missing. And it's the verse just before it, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, now that you know that, therefore go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. right? Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. When you place your faith in Jesus, things change. He's still the one who all authority. He's still the one who at a spoken word can heal a marriage. He's still the one who at a spoken word can break an addiction. He's still the one that at a spoken word can heal cancer. When you place your faith in Jesus, now you realize that the one who calmed the seas can still calm the seas in your soul. And he is with you even to the end of the age.